The people who have been mocking you for being a prepper are going to be begging you by the end of this winter, begging you for help, begging you for knowledge, for supplies, for food, for fuel, for a generator, garden seeds. You realize by the time the spring rolls around, garden seeds are going to be wiped out everywhere because people are going to realize how critical it is to grow their own food after having a winter without food abundance. It's going to be epic. You know, people live with something called normalcy bias, and it's a kind of psychological momentum where they think tomorrow is going to be just like the past. You know, they think the future is going to be the past because the past is all they know. And they don't realize that the past that they lived through wasn't normal. They think it's normal. That's why it's called normalcy bias, but it's actually been an aberration. And we've been living for the last 20 years, well, 20 plus years, in a financial aberration. We've been living in a time of cheap, easy money and cheap, easy goods. So all the things that people buy to live with, made in China goods, you know, manufactured goods, fuel for their cars and trucks and so on, it has been extraordinarily cheap. And even the gains in financial markets have been extraordinarily high because we've been living in a financial aberration, which is the era of cheap money or almost free money. The reason the markets keep going up is because the money keeps getting pumped into the system. And if your only concern is the financialization of the world, then you think everything's okay right now because, hey, the markets are up and the money's cheap and everybody's making returns. But if you realize that people need the physical world to function in order to live, then you realize we're in a world of hurt. And the normalcy bias that people have brought into this time period right now, the last 20 years of their lives, is going to mislead them about how to survive from this day forward. They are internally, cognitively misled by their own experience and their own memories of what life is, because they think they can always go to the store and buy more groceries. They think they can always go to Walmart, or they can always go to the gas station if they ran out of gas and they can get more gas. They think that when they open the faucet in their kitchen, that there will always be water there. They think water pressure is a normal thing that will always exist. And in these beliefs, they are wrong. You know, they think the lights will always go on. They think the computer will always boot up. They think the internet will always connect. Although lately they're probably finding out it's not always the case. But they are about to face a day of reckoning in which their life experience will betray them. And they will come to find that they have not been living in a normal world. The real world is the world of this financial reckoning, supply chains collapsing, things not working, and people not being able to get the supplies that they desperately need, no matter how much money they have. It doesn't matter what the price is anymore for a lot of supplies. They're just flat out not available. And you know why they're not available? Well, right now, of course, the supply line logistics are cratering all over the world. Not enough truck drivers, not enough container ships, not enough workers at the ports. But with the power grid failures in China and European nations, this is going to flip in a very tragic way over the next 6 months. It's going to flip into a lack of supply to even load onto the containers. They can't make products anymore in China for 6 out of 7 days of the week because the factories have no electricity in 21 out of 30 provinces. And that was covered by the South China Morning Post. You can read the quotes right there. For some factories, they're only working 1 day a week. So how are you going to get the goods? And then in the United States, you might think, oh, well, let's just take manufacturing back to America. Let's just put people back on the factories. First of all, nobody under the age of 30, it seems, wants to work at all in those entry-level jobs. And even if they wanted to, why would they when they get more money from stimulus money from the government and there's going to be more bailouts? Because this is the Democrats' answer to everything, is just print more money. And they just keep handing out the cash. But you're going to have this massive supply of cash chasing a collapsing supply of goods. And again, you can't eat the stimulus money. The stimulus money doesn't create heating fuel for your house. It doesn't put gas in the tank of your car. It doesn't provide replacement parts for all the things that you need to function in society. So how are you going to use that stimulus money when nothing's available? It's not much of a stimulus if you go to the grocery store and the shelves are empty. See, it's not a stimulus at all. So as these people wake up and totally flip out, which is what's coming, you're going to see a psychological panic like you've never seen before. And this is going to happen among many people that you know. In fact, there are really two big things that I think we're going to watch over the next, I don't know, 6+ months. Number one, a lot of people that we all know are going to die from the vaccine as the spike protein worsens their condition and as the antibody-dependent enhancement kicks in. There's going to be something released in the winter, you know, a bad flu or some other bioweapon. And these people who took the vaccine, especially if they take the third booster shot, you know, they have no immune system. They're basically walking AIDS patients. They have vaccine-induced immunodeficiency syndrome. I guess we should call that VAIDS or VIAIDS, vaccine-induced immune deficiency syndrome, VIDS. I guess we'll have to come up with that one. But they're going to catch everything, and they're going to die like crazy. They're going to die in huge numbers. And then the ones that don't die, maybe some of them who didn't take the vaccine but who weren't preppers, they're going to flip out when the groceries are gone. And they're going to come to realize, oh my God, we don't have anything to live on here. I mean, what are we going to eat? So these two things are going to happen in huge numbers, I believe, over the next 6 months or so. And it's already baked in at this point. We already see the coal shortages. We already see the commercial food supply shortages at the, you know, upstream, at the commercial level. It's already, I can tell you for a fact, it's already going to be empty shelves this winter. That can't be reversed. It's going to take a couple of years of recovery, frankly, to get back to the abundance we once had. And we got to end the lockdowns right now, and that's not happening. The politicians are still pushing the lockdowns. So guess what? You're going to continue to have outages, supply line shortages, empty shelves, parts that you can't get, things breaking down everywhere. We're having this problem with our data center, just trying to expand it, you know, to add more servers and add more storage and add more switches. You can't even get a lot of the parts. So it's not just cars and trucks and machinery and food. It's also electronics and telecom and everything else. The system is breaking down, and the natural gas is breaking down. The diesel is going up in price. The coal is going up in price. It's already doubled its price this year and so on. So all these people that you know and that I know, they're going to be texting and calling you this winter begging for help. And say, oh, you have anything to spare? We know that you are a prepper. You're the person who stocked up on stuff. Do you have anything to spare? You're going to get calls like that in massive numbers. And you're going to wonder, like, what to do. You know, how do we handle this? And I don't have the answer for you on that. I don't know the right way to handle it. Because you may have your own supplies for you and your family. Maybe you have a little bit extra that you can donate to a local church or relatives in need or maybe neighbors in need. But you know what? You can't store enough food for everybody. And you, like me, you've probably tried to warn people this entire time. You know, you've done your best to empower people and wake people up. We've all done that. And there's just some people that don't want to be prepared, and they think preparedness is kooky or something. And most of these people are liberals, and a lot of them are going to, you know, die over the next winter and spring, I guess. A lot of them are not going to be with us. So I don't know what to do for those people. But they chose their own demise, didn't they? They chose. So there's some kind of a karmic truth to all of this. I mean, I'm all about helping people as much as possible, but it's not my responsibility to prepare for everybody around me. And it's not your responsibility either. And if you've got something to spare, great. You know, help people out when you can. But if you don't have anything to spare, because you need everything for your own survival, because you planned ahead and you spent your money and resources while they were out partying in denial, then at some point you got to tell them, sorry, and you should have been prepping 2 years ago. You chose not to, and I don't have anything to spare. You may have to say that. And there's nothing immoral about that, by the way. The immoral thing is what they did. Their lack of prepping is immoral because they created a burden on you, an unfair burden. That's right. People who do not prep are immoral people because they create emergencies on everyone else. They cause the panic. You know, they talk about panic buying. Well, who's panic buying? People who didn't prep. They're the ones panicking. And then they're stressing the supply lines, and then they're creating shortages. Someone who preps a little bit over time is not creating shortages. They're not creating panic. They're not hoarding. They're just building up their supply over time. They're stacking little by little, day by day. And that's most of you listening to this. And that's me too. I've been building up supplies a little bit over time. But people who panic, they're the ones who stress the system. And that is immoral on their part. And you know, choices have consequences. When people choose to live outside of their means and they spend all their money on home remodeling and vacations and luxury cars and boats and whatever else instead of prepping, then there are going to be consequences to those decisions. You know, acquiring food a little bit each day over time is not expensive. Bulk rice, bulk lentils, bulk beans, you know, salt, these things that can keep you alive, they're not really very expensive. It doesn't cost much. But yet, what we're about to see over the next several months is people who just have nothing because they blew their money on something else. Oh, they had to have their, you know, $150 a month cable TV subscription. You know how much food you could buy for $150 a month, month after month? If you bought beans and rice and lentils, you would have a freaking stockpile. But no, they had to watch TV. Well, that's their choice. And at some point, you got to let them live with their choices. And don't compromise your safety and security, you know, beyond what you can. Again, I'm a compassionate person. And I've prepped at a community level. You've heard me talk about it. I do have a lot of extra stuff. And I'm prepared to help out a lot of people. But I have unique benefits. For example, I get to receive bulk food that's been damaged at the Health Ranger store. Often when bags, for example, a bag of quinoa is being unloaded from, you know, a pallet or from a truck, it's on pallets. And then the forklift driver will accidentally rip open the quinoa bag with the forklift. Well, guess what? That's a damaged bag, you know, that has to be discarded from our store. We can't sell that bag because, you know, it's been penetrated by a forklift fork. So we don't sell that. So it gets, quote, discarded. Understand? So I'm in a unique position to have a lot of stuff that is not sellable and may not be the cleanest stuff in the world. Personally, I don't care. I'll eat quinoa that's been stabbed by a forklift fork. I don't care. I just can't sell it, you know, to the public. You see, but not everybody obviously has that kind of a situation. So I am, you know, I'm going to be helping a lot of folks. I already know I'm going to do the best I can. And there's going to be, I will tell you this, when I give people food, there's going to be a lesson that goes with it. Like, you should have voted for Trump, you moron. You know what I mean? Like, if you want to eat, stop voting for socialism and communism and Marxism. You know, so I'm gonna lecture people when I give them food. You bet I will. You want free food, you're gonna have to listen and learn. Because if you had learned the lesson in the first place, you know, we wouldn't be in this position. you know, with Biden and the Democrats having this total breakdown of society. So yeah, I'm going to lecture people, and you should too. If you're giving out free stuff, lecture people. And then there's also barter. So this is also a reasonable thing. If you have neighbors or friends or family members that say, hey, could you help us out? Do you have, you know, 5 pounds of rolled oats, or do you have a dehydrated, I don't know, beef or whatever? Or do you have some potatoes, or do you, whatever? You know, you can say, sure I do. I am happy to engage in barter. What do you have? And that's a very reasonable question. Ask them what they have. Trade with them. Trading is the very basis of the free market system. This is the basis of sustainable civilization. It's better than giving handouts. It's allowing people to value what you have. To say, okay, yeah, you're hungry. Guess what? I have food. What do you have? And let's trade. Let's work the free market right here. Let's help each other. And let's do it in a way that it's balanced. So it's not one person giving handouts to another person. It's not welfare. It's actually, it's an economy. It's a barter economy. What do you have to barter with? Do you have any ammo? Do you have any antiseptics? You got any bleach lying around, you know? What do you have? You got any fuel? You have any radios? Flashlights? What do you got? You got any firearms that you're willing to part with, you know? Barter with people. And keep it fair, obviously. Keep it fair. But make sure that people value what you're trading with them. I'm not about giving handouts to people, especially people who refuse to work, which seems to be like a third of the economy right now, or a third of the country refusing to work. So I'm not about giving them handouts, but I'm all about trading stuff. What do you got to trade? And maybe the only thing they have to trade is their labor. And so you say, great, guess what? I'm glad you came along. I have a sledgehammer and we need to drive 150 T-posts out there. Go for it. And I'll trade you that, you know, hey, I've got 2 loaves of bread when you're done, or whatever, whatever's fair. Maybe it's more than 2 loaves of bread. I don't know. Here's 12 sticks of butter, you know, make it fair. And then finally, you realize that when this happens, people are going to be in shock as the dollar becomes worthless and the food stamp system stops working, the government goes broke, and these people who've been living on free everything all this time, you realize what a shock it's going to be for them to actually have to earn things. What? You mean I have to earn food? I have to earn things that I have to earn them? What is that? It's going to be an alien idea to a lot of people. What is earning things? What does that even mean? Yeah, you're going to have to work. You got any job skills? Are you capable of doing anything? Could you be a productive member of this community, perhaps? Tell you what, you know, maybe you could shuck corn. Maybe you can shell pea pods or something. Maybe you can pull weeds, you know, contribute to the food production. And if they're not willing to work, then don't help them out. Seriously, this is a biblical principle. He who's not willing to work should not receive free stuff, period. You know, and they'll sit there and say, but the government used to give me everything for free. Yeah, and that's why the government went bankrupt. And that's why your dollar is worthless. So guess what? You're going to have to earn your keep. Now, do you have any skills? And sadly, for a lot of the younger generation, the answer is going to be no, except, yeah. Oh, I have a skill. It's called the buying Bitcoin skill. I know how to buy Bitcoin. Or whatever that they've done on Robinhood. I know how to log into Robinhood. That's not a skill. That's not a real skill. That's nothing. That's worthless. Do you have anything that counts in the real world? There's the question. Ever change the oil of a vehicle? Huh? Ever change a tire? Ever run a lawnmower? For God's sake. Have you ever gardened before? Have you ever done anything? Sadly, the answer for a lot of people is no. So this is going to be the great, shall we say, the great sorting out of producers versus consumers in society. And those who know how to produce and know how to make things and do things and take care of themselves, they're going to be fine. But those who have been nothing but mindless consumers, many of them are not going to survive what's coming, because, as I said, their own experience will betray them. They are not prepared for the real world. They haven't lived in it. They didn't even suspect that the real world was coming. They're going to be totally shocked by it. All right, and one more thought in this. There will be a time when they get so desperate that they will attempt to use violence to come at you. And so you might be engaged in a barter conversation with people, you know. Hey, yeah, I'd love to give you some food. What do you have to exchange for it? Maybe it's your labor. Maybe it's something else. But let's do a fair trade, right? And then if their response is, well, how about you just give me what you have or I'm going to burn your house down? At that point, you get to make a decision. Now, I know what my decision would be right there in that moment. It would be a very final decision. But you got to decide for yourself what that decision is. And you got to decide, you know, what kind of society we're living in. Does the rule of law even function anymore? What's the chance of success if they were to burn down your house? Would they try to burn down your house with you in it? I mean, they're making a threat of murder against you. How do you deal with that threat? Well, the correct answer depends on a lot of circumstances. You know, where you live, how supportive is local law enforcement? Are there any police at all? You know, who would notice if you took action right there? lots of questions. As far as I'm concerned, somebody tells me they're going to burn my house down unless I give them food, then they're no longer engaged in barter. They're engaged in an active threat of violence, and I have my own ways of dealing with that. And I don't have to go into detail. But you got to decide for yourself how you are going to deal with that. I wouldn't just wait around to see if they're going to make good on their threat. Because how are you going to sleep at night, right? If you think they're going to burn your house down every night, how are you going to sleep? So you're going to have to be prepared for those kinds of confrontations. So a lot of people are going to get desperate. And a lot of people, especially the addicts who don't have their pills, you know, the first 30 days without their pills, that's going to be hell on society. You're going to see a lot of addicts getting shot, trying to break into people's homes and trying to break into pharmacies and what have you. They're going to go down in huge numbers. They're going to rob each other, too, because they know who each other are, typically. And that's not going to be pretty. So try to stay away from the addicts and don't have a reputation of having a lot of painkillers, you know. It's like, I mean, if an addict breaks into my place, they're not going to find any painkillers anyway, because I don't have any. I literally don't have any prescription drugs. The only prescription I have is ivermectin. That's literally the only prescription that you would find on my entire property. Ivermectin. Boom. That's it. And that's not going to get anybody high, so they'd be very disappointed. So just don't have a reputation of having a bunch of opioids or something like that, because that's going to burn you. All right. Well, that's my advice for today. I appreciate you listening to all this, and I hope this is valuable. You know, it's important to go through this thought process and understand what's coming. It's going to be brutal. And we got to be ready mentally and in terms of self-defense and in terms of our food preparedness and being able to function off-grid without a power grid, all these things. We got to be ready because it's going to be bad. But we can get through it. So thank you for listening. I'll do my best to help you get through it. I'm Mike Adams, of course. Thanks for listening. HealthRanger.com and also Brightown.com and NaturalNews.com. God bless you. Take care.